The lost poem. I'd stuck it in a mental cubby hole. Then all the cubby holes filled up with knives and shoes. Maybe this is what went down. I found a pencil with an actual point and looked for paper. The dryer buzzed. I took the clothes out. As I was folding them, the phone rang. I said, "Hello? Hello?" The silence opened like a scrap of paper. Was it a robot or a murderer? Long ago, there lived a girl in a Soho loft with hair like a two-story warehouse. By her phone, she hung a chrome whistle. Who was it that rang and rang and would not speak? Did the numbers he punched become points on her body, the rings and the pauses between them her breathing? And what of the shriek of the whistle? I woke to say, of course. No need to write it down, it's obvious. The poem had a dampness and a list. Or was I sweating in the dream? A movie clings to me for days now. Men with rifles and no masks. The poem did not have all that moonlight and blood. The poem had no horses. The wood below my home is white. The fragile branches lined in ice. The road is neither road nor field. Deer tracks pock the snow as far as I can see. Gunshots from the lower slope. I put the whistle to my lips. The poem rests like a snowy meadow. Am I too close? I'm just hearing this boom, boom thing. No, okay. Okay. Assisted living. This has a little epigraph. Every simile's an insurrection. Her phone is like a cordless baby. Her children are a blur of programmed digits. Each week, she writes new algorithms to survive from toothbrush to spoon. Her rakes and spade, binoculars, her Raleigh 3-speed are not even memory. Her new sports are dress, food, hygiene, a slalom course to every doorknob. A daughter's like a banister, or vice versa. She's lost her League of Women Voters calendar. There may be scribbled meetings, names sweet as cherries, left to rot in places she can't smell them. Somewhere in my ivy there's a dead animal, alive with a scent I'm starting to enjoy, almost enough to roll in and howl. Every daughter is an insurrection, every misheard word a revolution. The house isn't gone yet. It isn't there either if she can't get inside. All the hard-won scabs and treasures, the family of things, are stacking up in churches and thrift stores, in neighbors' garages, in lists her children carry. Every cell an insurrection. She gets around as a resourceful prisoner in the new place, sniffing out the secret exits, free diapers, abandoned New York Times with puzzles she can half finish, the paperback she can't see to read for more than 7 minutes. Twins. Two blonde boys walk toward one another, unaware, along the right-angle wall of a block of building at whose corner I wait like a resolving chord. Stop. I speak it just before they collide. They have become young men on a white screen, blank but for the wedge of building and my obelisk shadow pointing toward it. Look at one another. You're identical. But they are not anymore. The face of one molds through variations on the theme of the other and settles finally on gentle irony, conveyed through lips and the slant of eyebrows. The men smile shyly at each other, edging back, the white air charged with what has almost happened. If I walk at right angle or obliquely, toward whom I might have been. Will she acknowledge me? Or pin her gaze to something urgent to the left of my head? I have not lived inside the dark house between us, spying through curtains on her lovers and her shoes, bobbing in the wake of her significant contralto. If I approached that house and peered into each window, I might articulate a different twin in every room. I just want to say I'm fortunate to be in a poetry group or a sort of revolving group with a bunch of
bunch of great poets,
many of whom are here. If anything doesn't work about my poems, it's probably because I didn't pay attention to my group's suggestions. So this is called Cat Act. I have a cat whom I love dearly, but I just have her because she needed a home. I don't really know cats, or I'm not crazy about cats, so I think I tend to think of her as a person. I'm one of those people. So this is called Cat Act. The cat thinks she's a child again. Christ, aren't I finally too old for this? She's wearing sneakers, up on her hind legs, banging on the window with a stick. She's dying to get out of my house, out from under my opposable thumb. Jesus, what a stupid cartoon I've created. What a child with no insides, but strong. She could whack me with that stick or bite me. She's gotten really tall. Now she's in my arms, an infant cat with a four-year-old's voice. Shouldn't be wearing those shoes, I say. Why not, she says, all plaintive. Because you're a cat. I hate telling her that. Well, I like wearing them. They're Pumas. I guess I have to let her be who she is and all that crap. Anyway, how could I stop her? She'll just grow tall again and find another stick. I notice now she's taking on a very fulvous hue. A guy shows up. He has that careful handsomeness that I find ugly. But he becomes another child, a grown-up child with a big doughy face, insists he'll be responsible for the cat, insists he'll have her home early, wants to schlep her in her baby pack to some sticky theater where he regains his face and argues shit with other men. Of course he loses her. Doesn't even know what building he was in. Had to be a building. She's an indoor cat. I yell into his thick face, but he's impermeable. I scream out weeks and months of grief. The dough just thickens. He won't tell me, even if he knows. Meanwhile, the cat could be dead by now. Tunnel Road. This also has a little epigraph. Only Sharon knows who LJ is. This is LJ. Obsession is the opposite of creativity. If I look all day into a face that may be there or not there, I enter a tunnel. If I look all day into a face that is itself a tunnel, I enter A, windowless room, B, a windowless room. There was so much snow that there was only snow, a head, a body whitened into sky, and spruce trunks black in snow, and glide of Nordic skis on snow, and silence like a bridge of ice between two continents. There was a road called Tunnel Road we never found, a mated set of tracks we never saw, a warming hut we never reached, a fire inside the hut. At the hut we never found, a man and woman park their skis and enter to a wood stove, table, iron poker, axe. Light through two small windows. She stokes the fire. He throws on logs. She takes off gloves, then boots. He watches her undress. He thinks each layer must be the last, but there's another and another. We drew two stories through the hush of woods, amid the faintest bird claw prints, the iced rivulets, the hemlocks dressed as polar bears. We took turns burrowing through powder or gliding in the other's tracks. The snow was falling now, or circling, climbing. Our hair was filled with jewels, our tracks erasing.
Thank you.
This one is really new. It doesn't have a title yet. I was talking to a shrink about lack of focus. She said, here's an extreme example. A woman cleaning her house who stops scrubbing the kitchen to get a rag from her closet off her bedroom, and from the closet sees she'd started dusting the bedroom and stopped to get cleaner from the kitchen, so she resumes dusting the bedroom, forgetting the kitchen, until she walks to the bathroom to dampen the dust cloth and sees the cabinet open and empty and remembers she'd been cleaning the cabinet when she went to the kitchen to get cleanser and noticed she'd been scouring the sink there when she... Well, in fact, the therapist said just a few of these words, and I plugged myself right in. I am that extreme example, I said, but are you sure it slows my cleaning down? And she said, ah, but the woman cleaning is a metaphor, a capsule representation to examine actual behavior. Thus, actual speed of metaphorical cleaning is irrelevant. And I thought then of cleaning as metaphor for therapy, a monologue confined to one room within a circumscribed time. And would that one room be cleaner when I emerged? I thought of monologue as metaphor for type A cleaning, and of my more inclusive and erratic style as dialogue among all rooms. Which are rooms of the self, another shrink told me, when I dreamed the delicious dream of more and more rooms opening up off my one-room apartment. More space, I rejoiced, but he said, no, more parts of the self. And I love that too. My very self is multiplying square footage. And then he said, more parts of Barbara. And when you did that third person thing, I thought several things at once. Oh God, he's one of those. If his face were gigantic, it would make an excellent climbing wall with many challenging foot and handholds. Is there a second Barbara? And if so, what's the point of extra rooms if I have to share?
Thank you. I have a couple more. I'm having trouble with my fingers here. 2 weeks. White hydrangea. Real ones my mother grew. Plastic vase, plastic diapers on the shelf. His face grows skeletal, arms still muscular. If they move even his arm, he yells that he'll fall out of bed. A machine and two aides haul him bellowing into his wheelchair. I read him Saul Bellow, Faulkner, get your car, let's go home. He's forgotten that he stopped walking, stopped standing. He's walking the edge of something. In his barred bed, he's falling. Right hand, an enormous blossom, a blown-up float, sacred river. Say the first stanza of Kubla Khan, Dad. I love the way he punches the word down, his spine a drooping stem. He sees it's a test, rallies to the full punch. My father, the cooperative child, down to a sunless sea. Cover me, I'm cold. The owl and the pussycat went to sea in a beautiful pea-green boat. They took some honey and plenty of money, wrapped up in a 5-pound note. I got him to recite it long after I'd learned it myself. He loved the sounds of nonsense verse, rhymes that are layered like birthday cakes, memory, mammary, mummery, caverns measureless to man. I read him Gimple the Fool, the room, a cavern of demons. He fell asleep, and I stopped, and I watched, and he woke, and I read, and he slept, and I stopped, and he dreamed he was dead, and he woke and said, I'm dead, and then keep reading. It went on like this, very much like this, for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks, Sue watered my flowers. Deer ate the blossoms off my pink smile hydrangea in their infancy. Hydrangea. Cold name, sweet flower, sounds like water in the vein. When they die, they remain intact, drained of all color, elegant as sepia photos. Okay, two more. Philip kicks the, this one has a title that goes into the first line. Philip kicks the kitten, barefoot in Spider-Man pajamas. The cat moves like water, but feels firm on the toes. Silk coating, rubbery belly, shoots off faster than a soccer ball. His mom yells. She yells a lot. The dark drapes are drawn and the TV's on. Talking animals solve problems in rhymed couplets. His sister writes spelling words, found, down, pound. No water or juice after 7 o'clock. There's a plastic pad under Spider-Man sheets. One day they each get a kitten, no bigger than twistable action figures, in the nude of their fur, in the motherless glue. The boy can hold the kitten in his arms, cheek in her fur, in a hypnotized stare, an overstuffed chair, in the hum of his own mother's talk. He can hit her, and she can't get away. Time out, little man. Don't you dare hit that cat. Huge time out. A gorilla in an apron sings a song about giving.
The big fake gorilla, who's supposed to be real, holds a little fake gorilla, who's supposed to be fake. Upstairs, now. No dessert, no cat.
She's my cat, says Philip.
Sometimes the kitten bumps into walls. Again and again, she darts across the short barrel of his focus, over puzzles and purring trucks, toward his fierce little bedwetting heart.
Okay, last one. Something is digging. Everything was fine until one stray hour cracked the afternoon open and the day began to eat its own tail. I met the one-suit duo with a river view. They'd worked up a skit for me. Good cop, bad apple, i.e., find another tree. I had no stone, no flame, no black magic marker to stake my inviolate claim. What seeped through the fissure was a plague of lists to be addressed. Weed, shine, lie, propagate. Lists bubble up in dreams and cluster around my head in waking. Stick, graft, pluck, mother, catch up. Pollen dust the dark water. Leaves rust like abandoned shovels. Something is digging in perpetuity for grub, nuts, blood, shelter. The lilies have been strangled, the geraniums beheaded. The synchronous bugs are munching everything I've worked for. Thanks.